hope you got your Bible. Now, I'm not much at leading the singing, but I can tell you something about the Bible. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I hope you got it. 1 John chapter 1. I was over here studying the other day, and the Lord just... Y'all think that the preacher just stands up here and all of a sudden the Lord pours things into his head. It's never worked that way for me. Never. Never. Now, the Lord's given me a word, but it's very seldom has it been all just stand up here and wait for it, you know. The old Quakers, they used to do that. The Quakers about died out. They would, they'd all gather, and then they would pray, and then they'd just sit there. When nobody moved, they'd just sit there, and they said, we're waiting for the Spirit to move. And then whoever jumped up preached, be it man, woman, or child. And sometimes it was good, most times it wasn't, because the Lord just don't hardly ever work that way. 1 John chapter 1, I was studying the other day, and I was the thought come to me, the family of God, the family of God. That's what I'm part of, the family of God. Now, if you look up my pedigree, I don't have one. I don't have a crest. I don't have a sword and shield and all that stuff. You know, you can order that on the internet. Somebody told me the other day, they showed me they call it their family crest. And what it is, it's like a shield with a lion and a sword or something on it, you know. And they said, I said, how do you know that's yours? Well, I turned my name and I paid them there on the internet. I said, they can make up anything they want to. So how do you know that's true? I said, how did they know? I said, how far can you go back? Well, I can go back to great-grandpa so-and-so. And I said, well, how would they know how to go any farther than what you told them? So I don't have a pedigree. I don't know how far I could go back. But I know the Word of God tells me, since I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I am now part of the family of God. I've been adopted into the family of God. So in 1 John, it's written to the I call it a family letter. It's a family letter. Look at it in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and then chapter 2, verse 1. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so I got thinking about that. That's like a family letter. That whole book of 1 John, if you'll go read it again when you get home, that whole book is like a family letter written from the father to his little children. And so he's writing to his children who are in the world. Now, he doesn't have to write to those that's in heaven with him. So he wrote a book. When you think about the Bible, think about a letter that God wrote to his children. There's very little in the Word of God for anyone who has not been born again. That's why it's so confusing to them. It's like reading somebody else's family mail. And there's things in there that if you don't know the Lord, you've not been adopted or been born again into the family of God, that you're not going to understand it, just like you don't understand the Joneses over here. Everybody's trying to keep up with them. But nobody understands them, see. Because we're not Joneses, amen? And so it would be like going to their mailbox and stealing their mail and trying to read it and take that to your house. Well, you probably wouldn't want to. And you wouldn't want to steal my mail and take it to your house. And so the Word of God, if you think about it, we are the family of God. So God has written a letter. The whole Bible is a letter from God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, to his children on planet Earth. And that's us, those of us who have been born again. We've been adopted into the family of God. Those that are still in the world. Now, the book of 1 John is divided into two parts. I noticed that immediately as I study it. It's the family with the Father, and it's the family and the world, the ones that's still in the world. So I thought about those two things tonight. Now, this may be the shortest sermon I've ever preached, so somebody start timing me and write it down, okay? And when you go out Sunday, you say, preach long today, but you should have been here Wednesday night. I notice this in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Go back and look at it with me. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, he's talking about Jesus Christ. They saw him, they heard him, they touched him, they looked on him, they handled him, and he is the word of life. For the life was manifested. That word means shown forth. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, John is saying, I was there, I saw him, I touched him, I felt him, I slept beside him, I ate with him, I ate the fish that he miraculously made, I ate the bread that he miraculously broke. I was there when he stood on the side of the shore and said, children, do you have any meat? Throw your nets on the other side. And we couldn't get them all in. Amen. I was there when the storm was taking us under and he walked across on those waves and not even scared at all. And he let old Peter come to him and walk on the water. We were there. We saw it. I was there. I was part of it. I was there another time when he was asleep up in the bow of the ship and the storms was raging and the water was getting in and we thought we were going under for the last time and somebody woke him up and he said, oh ye of little faith, and he walked out and he looked at the ocean and he said, peace, be still, and they sat down. Amen. By the way, that's what your children ought to do when you tell them. And he said, we were there, we saw it, we handled it, and we tasted the things of God, we experienced them. He said, so now, little children, the family of God, I'm writing this unto you so you can know what I know. So he says there in verse 1 and 2 that his incarnation, him leaving the throne of glory and coming down, taking on the flesh of a man and laying aside his holy robes and becoming a little child in a manger because he was born, because he lived a sinless life we can't live, and because he died a sinner's death that we ought to die, and because he rose from the dead, because he was God in the flesh. He was there. I saw him. I felt it. I touched it. He was there. That's why you can have peace. That's why you can have joy, see. And he's saying, now family, you need to listen to that. Because of his incarnation, you can be part of the family of God. Now, we wasn't born in the family of God. None of us. We were all, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so we've all been born sinners. You children, listen to me. Nobody ever had to tell you how to tell a lie. You already knew it. Somebody had to teach you not to lie. You were born a sinner. You wasn't born saved. Just because your mama's saved don't make you saved. Just because grandma's saved or grandpa played the piano doesn't make you a Christian. Amen? Just because grandpa's the pastor doesn't make you a Christian. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He's got children. Those of us who were born wrong and born again, see. And he said, because of his incarnation, because God took on the form of a man, occupied a body, lived that life, and he died that death, and he rose that day, because of that, you can be the little children of God. That's how I can know I'm a child of God. Amen? And then I want you to notice this. Look at verse 3 and 4 in chapter 1. In verse 3 and 4 again, he said, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You see that? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Did you see that? He said, now, first of all, His incarnation is how you can have fellowship. That's what makes it possible. God doesn't have to have anything to do with us. But because of what Jesus did, He does have something to do with us. And now because of the Son of God, His relationship with the Father, because of His relationship, we can have a relationship. We can have fellowship with the Father. See, before we were saved, we could pray and we thought we were praying to God, but we weren't praying to anybody. God didn't hear our prayers. God doesn't hear those prayers because we weren't part of His family. That'd be like that kid down the street from you coming up there and saying, I want one of those new iPads. What would you do? You'd look at him and say, son, I don't hear a word you say. You ain't one of mine. I ain't buying you no stinking iPad. Amen. You belong down the street. Go home. Amen. I would. That's what I'd tell him. Some of y'all might be different, but I wouldn't buy him no iPad. He'd be in bad trouble. He'd wait on me. But we can have fellowship with the Son and be part of the family of God and have fellowship one with another because of what He did with the Father. See? Now, see, I don't know. I think there's one or two people in our church who were adopted. Now, because of what somebody else did, you got to be a part of a family you didn't even belong to. And they took you in and made you one of them. And that's exactly what God the Father did. Because of what Jesus did, God adopted you and took you into the family of God, where now you can have fellowship with Him. Now, kids, sometimes there's a lot of Roddies down in Chester. A lot of Roddies. Most of them's of a different color than I am. A lot of them. And sometimes I'll go down through there and I'll see they're having a Roddy reunion. And sometimes I think about just stepping in to the black Roddy reunion. And they say, well, where'd you come from? I say, well, you know, I'm a first cousin through Uncle Joe or something, you know. I get to eat free. I'll never forget, there's a black pastor, his name's Ira Roddy. He pastors over in right next to the state line, just across in Fort Mill. Are y'all listening, girls, back there at the back? You listening? I wouldn't have my friend get messed up on her first visit. Listen to me. Listen. But he called me one day. He said, Pastor Roddy, he said, I've been seeing your name around a lot. And I was hoping it was in all the right places. And he said, I think we may be related. Well, he'd never seen me. I knew who he was. I'd seen a picture of him, but he'd never seen me. And I said, you know what? We probably are. I didn't lie. Somewhere between here and Noah, we all related. Amen. Between here and Noah. Amen. I said, we need to have lunch one day so we can talk about it. I wanted to shock him. I wanted to show up, you know, and say, hey, cousin Roddy, see what he would say. But now, that name does not give me entrance into his family. I'd go to family reunion. I'd have no fellowship with that family because that's really not my family. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And I'm sure some of those people would love me and they'd appreciate what I do and they'd have honor and respect for me. But I wouldn't be a part of that family unless I was born into it or adopted into it. I couldn't fellowship with them, not as a family. I could fellowship as a friend, but not a family. There's a lot of people come to church and they've never been saved and they want to fellowship with the family of God. And we take them in and they say, that's one of the friendliest churches I've ever been in. But what they don't realize at first is they're fellowshipping as a friend, not a family member. Y'all see what I'm saying? But then you get born again and you come in and then you can have fellowship one with another as the same family. That's something you can only get through the blood of Jesus Christ. See? You can't buy it. You can't be born into it. You can't work your way into it. You can't get baptized into it. You can't do enough good works to get in it. You must be born again. And then, because of what He did, listen, you can have fellowship one with another as the family of God. See, we have a light spirit. We have a light spirit. Revelation 3:20 is the simplest verse I can tell you on that one. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll what? I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." Meaning he's going to live there. If they're going to eat supper with you, they're probably going to stay. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit moved in the day we got saved. Amen. So now, as the family of God, we all have the same spirit. And is that not just like a family? Because you all have the same father, you all have the same mother, and if you're in the same family, then you have the same spirit, right? Amen. Come on, help me. And so when you got born again, now you've got the same father, so you've got the same spirit. So now you can fellowship one with another, and all of you can fellowship with the Father because of what Jesus did. Now, so fellowship with His Son is with the Father. When you fellowship with Jesus Christ, you're fellowshipping with the Son, and vice versa. Now I want you to notice this. In chapter 1, verse 5, look at verse 5 in chapter 1. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now that means a continual cleansing. I just got word recently that a wonderful young lady, I always thought she was saved. I can't tell her heart or nothing, but I just recently heard that she got saved again. And I said, "Well, there's some things I just don't understand about that. If you ever saved the first time, how could you be saved again? You know, I mean, you only get born once, get born again once. Or maybe there was a mistake there. Maybe she wasn't born again. I don't know. But I know this. You can't sin away your salvation." Now, he said, if you walk in the light, as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. That means all your sins, past, present, and future. As you're walking in the light, you're walking in what you know about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Christian life. As you walk in that, and as you stumble and fall and make stupid mistakes, and the old lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all those things take you over sometimes, even though that's happening, the blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all sin all the time. Now you call and you confess your sins and He'll forgive you, and He won't, may whip you, may not, I don't know. But I know this, you might get a whipping, but He doesn't cast you out of His family. Amen. Now me and my family don't always get along. I know that'll shock you. But I would never cast one out. Amen. They might, I don't know, my children might be doing something stupid one day. My grandchildren might. Two of them's boys, I know they will. Amen, I see it in them already. That Adam's in them. And no matter what they do, though, let me tell you something, I'll be right there with them. If they go to jail, I'll be there to see them. If they go to court, I'll be sitting right behind them. Amen? Hey, if they're falsely accused or rightly accused, I'll be standing right beside them no matter what happens. Why? Because we don't cast off our own. And God, being a lot better father than I am, certainly He's not going to cast us off. Now, I'll beat the devil out of them. Don't you get me wrong. I about done it today to one of my grandboys. I come that close. My daughter would have got mad at me. I come that close. I know why God don't give old people children now. My patience is gone, but I but I wouldn't cast him off. Amen? Nobody else better jump on him. Amen? And that's the way the fellowship with the Father is, and fellowship through the Son. But there are conditions to fellowship. Go back and look at it, verse 5. "This then is the message which we've heard of Him, declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now here's the condition. You walk in the light as He's in the light. You get back out there walking in this sin-cursed, dark world and the things of this world. Let me tell you something. God will stop. Now, He won't cast you off, but He'll stop His fellowship. You'll pray and you know it ain't going past the ceiling. You'll ask for things that won't ever show up. Amen? What will show up is guilt. And every time you pray, hey, is that not funny, BJ, how the old devil would do? He'll get over here on this shoulder, you know, and boy, you be tempted. He'll say, go ahead. Oh, that'd be good. Won't nobody know it? And then you do it. You fall and you do it, and he gets over here on this shoulder and says, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to put it on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever else they got. Amen. But now see, the father, just like with my children, at times I'd say, look, you don't need to talk to me about this. We don't need to talk. You know how I feel. You know I don't like it. We're not talking about it. Now, if you need some help getting out of it or not doing it, I'm here. But until then, until you get this fixed right here, we're not talking. I love you. If you're hungry, call me. I'll get you something to eat. If you need some clothes, call me. I'll get you some clothes. You ain't living in my attic and you ain't living in my basement, but you can call me. I'll help you. But until you get this right, me and you are not fellowshipping. And that's the same way with Christians. Some people say, well, y'all Baptists, y'all believe once saved, always saved. You can just do anything you want to and still go to heaven. You go ahead and try that. You go ahead and try that. The Lord beat the devil out of me more than one time since I've been saved. Amen. Amen. And I've worked hard at not getting beaten. I'd hate to see people that don't work hard at it. Amen. But it don't work that way. God the Father will cut you off, won't talk to you, won't answer your prayers. And unless you may even, I've known people to die in that condition, walking in the darkness and wake up in heaven and be lost. Every reward they ever had and get in, the Bible says, yet so is by fire. Everything they did burn up except their salvation. Amen. Some 10-year-old girl come wandering in there and do better than them. Amen. Alright. Look at verse 8 in chapter 1. Now in verse 8, you're going to see how to meet those conditions. What condition, preacher? The conditions of fellowship. How do I stay in fellowship with God? How do I get my prayers answered? How do I have that joy He talks about there? All right, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. First thing you got to do is realize you're still a sinner. You're just a saved sinner. Now, the Spirit of God lives in you. You've been born again. You're not what you used to be. But sometimes you ain't what you ought to be either. Now, you ain't in heaven yet. You're not what you're going to be. But I don't see no halos in this room. There ain't no y'all floating around on a cloud with a harp or nothing. I tell you, don't deceive yourself. You still got sin in you. Go back and read Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul said, that which I would do, I do not. He said, but that which I would not, that I do. Amen. He said, I find that there's a law within myself. So with my mind, I serve Christ. And with this old flesh, that old law of sin. And look, this thing, it's still condemned. This thing can't go to heaven. This is not saved right here. I don't care what that TV preacher told you. This is not saved. You're going to struggle. Now there's two of you. Everybody in here that's saved is a schizophrenic. There's two of you. You got the saved one living in there, and you got this old lost one living out here, and you're going to fight with them all the time till the day you get to heaven, and then we get a new body one day, and our spirit and our soul and our body will be joined. Then you'll have the victory over that. Until then, He said, again, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us if we say we have no sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, now you got sin, won't you just confess it? You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? Nobody's a sinner anymore. Nobody thinks what they do is wrong. Now they're quick to point out what you do. But what they do is fine, see. and they're deceiving themselves. Why don't we just go ahead and confess our sin? Every time I pray, I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins today. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, Lord, save me. I'm already saved. I'm saying not. Certainly, I'm not saying, Lord, save me again. That's impossible. Go back and read Hebrews 6. It's impossible to get saved. If you could lose it, it'd be impossible to get it back. But I'm saying I'm not deceiving myself. Did you know for him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, sometimes it's for him it's a sin. I mean, sometimes there's some things you ought to do that you don't do. That's a sin. Did you know that? Now, you probably have gotten victory over a lot of your old past life and those old sins that so easily beset us. We've laid those aside. But sometimes that old Pharisee will raise up in you too, and you'll say, well, I'm better than he is, and that's a sin right there. Amen. Just remember where you come from. Amen. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. That thermostat's a liar. Go turn it down 2 more degrees. The hall gets cold and it's still hot in here. But if we say that we've not sinned, look, we're calling God a liar. Fellow said one time, that he didn't sin anymore, that he was above sin. And this young boy said, I lived above sin for 2.5 years. He said, see there, you can do it. He said, yeah, while I was going to Bible college, I lived above a pool room in an apartment. 2.5 years. It's about the only way you're going to live above it, amen? His coronation made it possible. Fellowship is with the Son, through the Son, with the Father. There are some conditions. And then there's conditions for the family fellowship too. Now, we're the family of God. But you know, we can have them falling out. We can have them falling out. Next week, this church could not even be here if we had a big falling out. There are churches all over town. I can tell you one that run their pastor off in 1981. They ain't had a pastor since 1981. The building sits 300. It's sitting over there growing over with weeds and everything else. And 8 of them meet in the fellowship hall every Sunday. It's all that left. And the reason they're still there is they're part of the family of the contractor who was a deacon who built the church. And he told God he'd never leave it. So he's still sitting over there. And they don't even have a preacher. Don't want one. They'll pay some guy $50. Come in and preach to them on Sunday morning. They go home, they did their time, they're done. Now don't tell me a church can't tear apart. There's some ways that the family fellowship is maintained. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now I know you're a sinner, but don't sin, he said. Y'all listening? If any man sin, we have an advocate. That's a lawyer. That's a go-between. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. In other words, he's the replacement. He's the payment, see, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, the first thing we need is we need Jesus Christ to stand between us and heaven and earth and everything else. See, he's our advocate. Before you go talking about me, talk to him. See? You ever see those TV shows and they'll get this guy and somebody got murdered or something, you know, and they'll run and get this guy and they'll start locking him up and they'll start asking him questions. He'll say, you need to talk to my lawyer. That's what we'll start telling people that talk about other Christians. We need to say, look here, you need to talk to my lawyer. You don't need to be talking to me. That's part of my family. Why don't you go talk to his advocate? He'll talk to you about him. Amen. And that's how our relationships maintain. Now, our part is in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. Number one is we love him, therefore we try to obey him. And when I'm obeying him, that ought to please the rest of the family. Amen? I've known church members get mad because somebody's trying to live the will of God in their life. And it embarrassed them. It embarrassed them. I've been in churches where some poor saint couldn't read or write, but they could shout. And boy, they'd get the shouting going on. Somebody come up to me and say, why don't y'all tell him to shut up? I said, you don't know where he come from. The boy can't even read and write. He comes to church and the preacher reads the Bible to him. He gets excited and he shouts. And if he don't do it, Jesus said the rocks are going to cry out. Let the boy shout. Leave him alone. It's like that old lady, every time the preacher, she went to this new church and went in fancy churches, and every time the preacher hit a good point, she sat back there at the back. She said, amen. Everybody turned around and looked at her, and the preacher get to preaching and hit a good point. She said, praise the Lord. And finally, he got on his little telephone up there. Y'all seen him with little telephones up there. And he called the usher. He said, get that woman out of here. She's disturbing my sermon. And hung up, and two ushers went and got her. And said, they was carrying her out. They was picked up off the floor. And they was carrying her out. And she was kicking and hollering. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And said, stop. Lady, we run you out of here. What do you got to be excited about? Why are you shouting? She said, praise God. Jesus had only one donkey to ride on. I got two carrying me out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fellowship. There's some hindrances to it. Real quick. Verse 15. Chapter 2. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. We'll hang that sign over every church in town. It shut down a bunch of this stuff they got going on. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the things of this world, you ain't got fellowship with the Father nor me. See? For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now let me tell you something. If we're going to fellowship with one another, and we're going to fellowship with the Father, we're going to have to have... Hey, we can't love the other family. There's two families in this world. The family of God and that other family. Preacher Coley preached one time a sermon called Them. He said, I'm one of them. He said, I'm proud to be one of them. I'm one of them. You remember that, Sister George? He said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them that when people talks about going to church, they start talking about people getting excited about serving the Lord, living for God, and shouting and going on. And he says, they say, you know, one of them. He said, well, I am one of them and proud of it. Amen? Amen. There's two families. There's them and us. Amen. There's us. Let me tell you something. This world is not our home. We're not part of this world anymore. The Bible calls us aliens, calls us strangers. It calls us pilgrims. It calls us peculiar. Amen. Calls us new creatures. Amen. And so we shouldn't be so happy in this world. It's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. So, if I'm going to have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with this family, then I can't be hindered by being a part of another family. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There used to be a boy who lived across the street from me when I was growing up, and his name was Carlton. And old Carlton, he had a hard life. He had a hard daddy and a hard mama and just a hard family. And he'd come over, and we thought we had it hard, but they were, you know, hard. And he'd come over to the house, and he'd walk in the door. That's back when you had screen doors. Y'all remember the glorified days when you had screen doors? And you'd hear that screen door slam, and you'd turn around, there's Carlton. He'd say, hey, Ma Rod, Roddy, what you got to eat? Ma Roddy, Ma Roddy, Ma Roddy. And my mama pretty well adopted him in our family. And he would eat her cooking like he was starving to death. Now, my mama could cook. He'd eat her cooking like he was starving to death. And everywhere we would go, when he'd talk about my family, he'd say, Ma Roddy, Ma Roddy. Now, he was in a bad family. And we were too, wasn't we? And he'd tell you, it broke his heart to be in his own family. He was scared to sleep in his own bed at night. He didn't ever know what was going to happen. But you know what? We were the same way out there in this old world. and then we got born again. God adopted us in this family. Why in the world would we want to go back out there in that mess and be a part of that again? Amen? Fussing, fighting, cussing, lying, cheating, stealing. And a lot of things I'm not going to say because there's children in here. Amen? Why in the world would we want to go back into that family? Amen? I've been adopted into the family of God. I ain't going back. Where are you going to go? Amen? Where are you going to go? You going to go back to the bar? They ain't like you down there. That's why you got a fist fight every week. Amen? Amen? You going back down there? No. You going back over to the crack house? Amen? They steal your watch off of you while you was asleep. Amen? Where are you going to go back to? There's nothing out there. All that disappeared when you got saved. You got born into the family of God. Hey, you got no business out there. Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. That's enough to make a Methodist get baptized. Amen, Gorgie. Amen. Amen. I got to quit. I got so much to preach. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. 1 John 2:29. If you know he's righteous, you know God's righteous, don't you? You know Jesus is righteous, don't you? Then shouldn't common sense tell you that everyone that doeth righteousness must be of him? I'm not talking about everybody that does good deeds, but I'm talking about people that live right. You used to hear that. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to live for the Lord. You don't hear that much anymore. Amen? People now, they offer them something. They say, I can't do that. My preacher would kill me. I ain't your daddy. If I was, I'd kill some of you sure enough. But that's how you recognize people. It's having fellowship with the Father and with other people in the family is they do right. You know, in this church right here, Brother Jimmy, I've been in churches where they had to preach against everything down to chewing chewing gum. I mean, if you did it, they could preach against it. I mean, everything, amen? And some of it was good and some of it wasn't so good. But you know what I found out a long time ago? If you get a family of God, a bunch of people together that are part of the family of God and they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they're trying to walk in the light as He's in the light and they're letting the blood of Jesus cleanse them from sin every day and they're confessing their sins every day and they're loving one another and they're serving one another. You know, you ain't got a whole lot to preach against. I don't have many against sermons. Because most of the people that come here are trying to do right. We're all in the same family. Amen? And boy, I look over there and I see somebody trying to do right and I say, that must be one of us. Amen? but every once in a while, we'll have one come in and they'll try to just skate the edge. I mean, they want to be one of us and they kind of want to fellowship with us, but you know, they're right there on that line. And you don't ever know if they're going to swing over this way one day or swing over there that way one day. And you never know it. And the whole world knows it. We call them hypocrites. Amen. It's easy to tell a child of God. I was in Chicago, Illinois. I was 28 years old. I was going to pastor school for a week up there in Hammond, Indiana. I got homesick. There was Walmart across the street. If you're ever up north and you're homesick, go to Walmart. You'll feel right at home. You'll say, there goes the same rednecks as in Walmart at home, you know. And so I went up there and this very well-dressed black lady came up to me and said, sir, I don't mean to disturb you, said, but you're a Christian, aren't you? In Chicago, Illinois, in Walmart. I said, yeah. How could you tell? She said, I can see it. Said, there's a glow, there's a holiness about you. You're different. I can tell you're different. She said, you're probably a preacher too, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. I'm a pastor. That's not hard to spot the children of God. Amen. Now, why would I want to lower myself to look and act like the world when I can have that testimony and not even speak.
Amen.
I was in Sioux City, Iowa, one time, preached for Brother Tony Green. I got homesick, went to Walmart. I did, I went to Walmart. And again, I was standing in line behind a lady. She turned around, she said, "You're a Baptist preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. How do you know?" She said, "I can just tell." I hadn't said a word. I hadn't talked to nobody. I was defeated and down in the dumps and brokenhearted and didn't know if I was going to keep going on one day, sitting up in Charlotte on a bench waiting for my wife to check out at that garden center thing up there. And I was sitting there and I thought, well, I'm just defeated. I don't know if I'm going to keep on going. And this lady checked out, and as she walked past me, she walked past me and she said, "Okay, Lord." And she turned around and she said, "Sir, I don't know you, do I?" I said, "No, ma'am, I've never seen you in my life," and I never forget a face. She said, "Well, you might think me crazy." She said, "But the Lord just told me to pray for you." She said, "Jesus said he's not through with you. And he's going to use you greater than he's ever used you before. And he wants you not to give up. Don't quit. He's not through with you." Boy, cold chills went up and down my spine. The hair stood up on the back of my neck and on my arms. I felt God. Now, I'm an independent, fundamental, King James, Toten Baptist. We're chauvinists. We don't have much to do. We're kind of scared of women, to be honest with you. And this is what she said. She said, "Can I pray for you?" And I started crying. I said, "I wish you would." And she put her hand on my head just like that and started praying and prayed. I mean, this woman prayed God down. And when she left, she said, "Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus." As she was walking out the door, still didn't know my name, still didn't know where I come from or where I was going. She just recognized a child of the family that she belonged to who was in a little distress, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and she obeyed the Father and interceded for me and brought me up, and she got a blessing for it, walking out the door shouting. Now, my wife was another story. She walked over and said, "Who was that woman?" I said, "I ain't got a clue. But she sure can pray." I said, "That woman prayed for me." Now, she was walking in the light. I was walking in the light. The blood of Jesus was cleansed us from all sin. And we could recognize our own family. I said it'd be short. I done went longer than I thought it would. Verse 24 says, in chapter 2, verse 24 says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now that's what fellowship with the Father and the Son and the family will get you. People get out of church, I go see them, and they start complaining and crying, and I let them talk, and then when they get through, this is what I've got, where I've started telling people. You have removed yourself from everybody and everything that would be a blessing to you. And we did not leave you. You left us.
Amen.
We don't want you to go. But if you want to stay out here in the cold where you're not going to get any blessings, go ahead. But I want you to know, you have removed yourself. Nobody else did that to you. Nobody has that power over you. You made that decision. Now, why don't you come back home? I'm home. You're my family. He's my father. He's my brother. Jesus Christ is my brother.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's stand, Father.